This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On a Monday phone call from a jail cell, Kendra Duggar broke. She was crying, telling Joseph, the husband, facing some of the most serious charges a person can face, that she had to put the kids first. That's a good thing, right? She couldn't be there for him the way she wanted. That the people around her, the ones she called my coaches, which is interesting and creepy all into itself, meaning the Duggars themselves, were telling her to take care of herself so she could make good decisions for her children. She said her priorities were the kids and that the only thing she was able to focus on was them. She told him she wasn't well. She could barely eat. She could barely stand. And in that moment on that call, Kendra sounded like a mother who was starting to see her situation clearly. Then the week played out. And I'm not saying this to criticize Kendra, because I believe she is a huge victim in this story. And those close enough to her, I hope, are helping her get back to seeing the light, the reality of the situation that she is living in. Because as the week played out, by the next call, she was telling Joseph about spending a whole day hanging out with Katie. Jessa came by to visit. They went on an ATV ride with a family member, blasting worship music. Who doesn't do that in the ATV? She and Joseph were having a great time one evening, laughing about something silly. Joseph then started sending her psalms, telling her to listen to them, telling her he was praying them over and over and replacing the pronouns with her name. She sent him worship song lyrics about the enemy whispering, reframing his charges as a spiritual attack, not a consequence. And when she laughed or managed to eat a meal, the people around her told her that it was God's grace pouring out on her, not her own resilience, not her own strength. It's God's grace that you're able to eat. Because in that system, Kendra is not allowed to own the facts that she is tougher than anyone has ever told her that she is. It's always, it's something else that's giving you the power. It's God, it's the Duggars, it's anything but you having your own autonomy or strength or decision-making power. Her children are in state custody, and her days are filled with ATV rides and psalms and family visits and worship music. Every minute scheduled, every silence filled. So she never has to sit long enough to think about what is actually happening. She has a window. The people around her seemingly have closed it. This, what we're talking about here, is about opening that window. If you're on the outside, if you're on the inside, and you want to do something good, help this woman escape. Help this woman get out of the clutches of the coercive control the Duggars are blanketing over her. I want to talk directly to Kendra, and I want any woman listening who recognizes what I'm about to describe, not from a documentary, but from her own life, because this really applies to more than just Kendra. Anyone who is in this sort of a lifestyle, in this sort of a situation that they find themselves in. Look, we all get into weird situations in life. We get into situations that don't seem weird. They seem like life. They seem like the next path, the next place to go. This is good. This is right. This is righteous. This is God's will. And then sometimes when the light gets shown on it, you're like, oh, ooh, this doesn't seem so much like godliness to me. What the Duggars are doing right now, it's not evil because they're monsters. It's dangerous because they genuinely believe this is how you help someone. You surround her, you fill her days, you keep her inside the family, you give her scriptures and sisters-in-law and activity and reassurance. You tell her God has a plan, and you never, not once, encourage her to sit alone in a quiet room and ask herself what she actually wants. No. You fill in those blanks and you tell them this is what God wants, right? This is Jesus-y. This is Kendra described it on one of the calls. The whole family has departments, she said. Some are working on the kids. Some are working on her mom. Some are working on the attorney. Some are working on the business. She said it like it was comfort. And I guess if you're caught up in that system, maybe it kind of is. Like it proved they loved her and it wasn't just some sort of lever of control that they're all pulling because that's the roles they've been bred and basically brainwashed to execute. They don't know what they're doing. They just think this is what you do. This is support. This is love. As if the person, the umbrella holder above them that says, this is how you do it. This is how we do it, is the way to do it. Well, just like Montel, never coming back on an old school track. It's time to change the track. It's time to look at life for what it is, for the sake of your children, for your own future, for their well-being, for them not to grow up in a world where they think this is normal. Because it's not. And it's not healthy. It's not only not normal, it's not healthy. It's not safe. There's a track record, a very dark, dark track record, not only of the immediate family that you are surrounding your children and yourself with, but of the people they surround themselves with. That's a scary track. It's a scary track filled with a lot of predators, a lot of predatory behavior towards children. Is this where you want your kids to live? You got to ask yourself that. Let's go back to all of the roles, all of the functions, all the levers everybody's pulling because it's their jobs. What she's describing is an operation. And the operation's goal, whether anyone in that family would use this word or not, is to keep Kendra on a path that serves the family's interests, not hers, all in the name of God and righteousness and, you know, all of that. Kendra grew up in a conservative Baptist pastor's household. She was homeschooled, allegedly. Her father, Paul, led the church where she and Joseph met. She married at 19 and moved directly from her parents' home into her marriage. From what we understand, the world she was raised in did not teach women to navigate legal systems or financial systems or make major decisions independently. It wasn't quite as extreme as the Duggarville, but it was still, by most accounts, a version of, you know, Christian fundamentalism where things go a bit far. And it's not a criticism of Kendra. That is a description of the environment. And it means that right now, at the most critical moment of her life, she's relying entirely on the people around her to tell her what to do. And the people around her are the Duggars. She can't see the trap because it feels like love. And nobody has ever shown her the difference. There are some folks out there who can. There are some Duggar girls who have escaped. Ones I very much respect. Ones who've written some great books. Ones who could provide some guidance. I guess the trick here is going to be probably trying to get to her and get that guidance there in a way that isn't immediately shut down by the family. Or Kendra herself, viewing it as blasphemous. That's a scary situation to be in, where certain pieces of information just cannot get through because the second someone hears them, they have been trained, they have been brainwashed their entire life, that is the enemy. If it goes against what Jim Bob says, if it goes against the Duggar way of thinking and the way that they have taught, then it is the enemy. That literally is it. I mean, it's not just that someone's disagreeing with the father, your father-in-law, or the family, or anything. It's disagreeing with God. That's how it is viewed. And I'm here to tell you, Kendra, that is utter bullshit. Utter bullshit. That's not how it works. God doesn't give human beings the power of God. He doesn't give human beings the power to dictate exactly how things should be or how he feels about things or how his word should be interpreted. No, that's all man. That's all human. And judging by the folks who have taken up that task in their life, do you think they're doing a very good job at it? Because I'd say most of the world who looks at these people, most real, you know, Christians, if you will, God-fearing folks who aren't touching their kids. They look at these people and go, charlatans. Fake, false prophets, misguided, misled, cult members. That's how some people feel. A lot of people feel. And if you really line up the teachings and the way of thinking and you parallel that and you line it up to the ways cults function, you're going to find a very interesting correlation. And it's not a place any healthy person would choose to raise a family. So here it is, a guide, not an accusation, not a prosecution. Just a clear-eyed look at what getting out actually looks like step by step. First, your attorney. Kendra told Joseph on a call that she asked Travis Story to be her lawyer. She said it was her choice. She said it was only for her. And maybe Travis is doing good work on her behalf. I'm not here to judge Travis's work, but there's a question worth asking. Does my attorney answer only to me? Would he advise me to cooperate against Joseph if that was best for my case and my children, even if it hurt the Duggar family? I'm not here to tell you how Travis is going to work. I'm sure he's a lovely attorney. I'm sure he's ethical and does his job. Without a doubt. But there are such things as conflicts of interest. And if your interest is not to stay in the Duggar clan, he may not be the man for you. That would be a conflict of interest, having done work for this family in the past, and he's going to be your attorney. And if your interest is not necessarily them, that constitutes what is called a conflict of interest. There's nothing wrong with this attorney by any means. It's just that's how these things work. If your interest is not to support that family anymore, your interest is in your children and your own autonomy and your own freedom and your own way of life and your own way of thinking and your own life, then I don't know that he's the man for you. Again, not saying anything bad. I'm sure he's a lovely attorney. But that would be a conflict of interest, in my opinion. That's my opinion. And you want to make sure that who's ever going to be in your legal circle in this fight that you are going to have to face, whether you like it or not, no matter how kid glovey or how many cushions the Duggars seem to put on the walls to make you think, oh, it's okay, we're going to handle this. We got our family attorney here, somebody who's handled, you know, other family members' stuff. That may not be your best option. It is time to grow up, and it is time to start making those decisions. You've already had multiple children. I mean, come on. You are a grown-up. You are an adult woman. It's time to start acting like one. And it's time to start making choices for yourself. And not just have them handed to you or told to you, and then you act like, oh, this is what I truly want. Because let's be honest. Is it? Do you even know? Do you even know? And it's not your fault if you don't. But if your kids look back at you someday, and they will, 10, 20 years from now, they go, Mom, why did you make those choices? Why did you stay in this? Look at all these people. Look at these people that have been violated by these people. Why did we stick around? Are you going to have a good answer for them? Well, that's what they told me to do, so I did it. And you know, say there's no shame in that. There is. There is a lot of shame in that. There's a lot of shame in that. Like, well, I didn't know any better. And you know what? You may be at that point right now, but the only way to know better is to learn. There's all plenty of things we have in life that we do not know better at until we learn, until we educate ourselves. And as far as I can tell, you don't have any sort of developmental disabilities that affect your learning ability, your ability to have your own choices and your own autonomy and to make those choices effectively for your own self-interest. That's on you. You have that power. You do. It's not just what God wants or speaks through an umbrella that tells his kids, and then they tell you on ATV rides as you sing praises as your children are being taken care of by strangers because the government said, you know what? Don't look too safe. And you know what? In this case, the government's right. The current way of thinking, the current way of living that you've been under, it ain't safe. It ain't right. It's not godly. It's not ethical. It's not moral. It's not safe. Do you want to fix that? Do you want the kids back? Do you want to raise them from a much stronger standpoint from where you have come from? Because this can be a huge redemption story. This can be a huge moment in life of, yes, I was here, and then I found my voice. Then I found my strength. Then I found out who I really am. And I found out who God really is, too. No one's asking you to get rid of your belief or your religion. Plenty of the Duggar still have it. They just have a balanced version of it, a version of it that actually truly reflects the Bible far more than the Duggar edition. But again, that's up to you. You have plenty of people in this circle. Outside of the compound that you're being kept on, that can help you, can get you out, and can get you on a path to freedom. It exists. You just have to pull the lever. You can. Will you, I guess, is the question. So let's look at that attorney again. Is he the best choice for you? Would he advise you to cooperate against Joseph if that was best for your case and your children, even if it hurt the Duggar family? If the answer is uncertain on your part, even slightly, you owe it to yourself to get a second opinion from an attorney who has no history with this family at all. Not to replace Travis necessarily, just to hear what an outside perspective sounds like. Because you're probably going to hear about the same things I just said. Legal aid organizations exist in Arkansas. Domestic violence advocacy groups that specialize in coercive control exist. Family law attorneys who work with women in exactly this situation, women who have been isolated, women who have never navigated the system alone, exist. You don't need anyone's permission or anyone's money to make that phone call. You don't. I can almost guarantee probably anyone in Northwest Arkansas, any attorney worth a grain of salt who realized that you were calling them would would certainly talk with you free of charge and be there to help you. You just have to find the right one. But you can do it. It takes a little work. But again, like I said, too, there's other folks. There's other family members who've escaped. You have attorneys in your actual extended family, too, that have escaped. You could find it. That's the key. You could find it if you want to look. But again, the choice is up to you. Second, you got to show the courts you're serious. And this is very important. Based on the public reporting about how DCFS cases work in Arkansas, a mother in Kendra's position needs to demonstrate that the children are the priority. So you need to do that. Not just say it on a Monday phone call, but actually live it visibly. That means going home to the address you gave the court when you were released on bail. Getting the house in order, pursuing employment or stability, taking concrete, visible steps to separate yourself from Joseph's case. If you're staying close to the case, the odds of getting your children back, not so great. The court and DCFS need to see a mother who is pulling her children above her marriage, above the family, above loyalty. According to reporting from people experienced with the Arkansas foster care system, the criminal case typically needs to resolve before DCFS can move towards any sort of reunification. That could take a while. So, it could be years that you don't see your kids if you choose to stand by your man. Authorities reportedly aim to make a custody determination within about a year of removal. Every day spent on someone else's couch, surrounded by the family, the court is already scrutinizing, works against that timeline, works against you, Kendra. Third, get some real help, not church counsel. Reporting from the calls and from sources close to the case suggests DCFS's concerns about Kendra's mental health that are currently unaddressed. It sounds like you need some counseling. If you stay under the Duggar umbrella based on how this system operates, if history is any prediction of the future, you're going to be steered away from secular therapies because they don't believe in it. It's witchcraft to them. You've probably been told that. You may believe that. I'm here to tell you it's not. It's the furthest thing from witchcraft. Away from medication, away from any care that doesn't route through their framework. The calls that have been happening show it's already happening. When Kendra has a moment of strength, the people around her tell her that God's working through her, not her own capability. When she talks about her mental health, it circles back to scripture. The Lord's working through the IVs you're taking, Kendra. I mean, come on. No person should be having to take IVs who is healthy just to get by. Your body is failing you. Because it knows the immense pressure and stress and chaos that you are being put through by these people. You need a therapist who works for you, someone licensed, someone who can help you process what happened to you and your family without weaponizing faith to keep you compliant. You don't need drives on the ATV singing scripture songs. You need competent mental health help. You need someone who can look you in the eye and say, you are strong enough to do this on your own. Because you are. You just haven't been allowed to believe in it. Of course, believing in oneself is probably a sin in the Duggar land. It's not. The other part, nobody inside that house will ever tell her, because it threatens everything they built. The women who left this family didn't just survive. They built lives. that would have been unimaginable inside the system. Jill Dillard left. She and her husband, Derek, who is an attorney, by the way, Kendra. I don't know them personally by any means, but I'm sure they would reach out their hand to help. And not that he can necessarily be your attorney. That might also be a conflict of interest, being family. I'm not quite sure. I'm not an attorney, but I'm sure he could help lead you to someone who could help you. He's the one who confronted Jim Bob about the television earnings that he had withheld from his own children. Jim Bob reportedly responded by sending Jill an itemized bill for the cost of raising her. You know, like great dads do. Let me send you a bill for raising you. What a God. Who does that? She fought anyway. She reportedly received $175,000. She wrote a memoir called Counting the Cost. She appeared on the Amazon documentary, Shiny Happy People. She built a platform, a career, and financial independence on her own terms. She did all of that while raising children and rebuilding her understanding of faith from the ground up. You have a blueprint in front of you. A blueprint that will help you do the same. Ginger left. She wrote Becoming Free Indeed, built brand partnerships, bought a home. Her husband, Jeremy, has said publicly that as a minister, he earns nothing, meaning Ginger is the one generating the household's income. She became the primary earner, allegedly, in her family after being raised in a system that told her a woman's only purpose was submission. Again, another example right there of it being done. They're not wicked. They're not sinful, evil human beings. They are survivors, just like you can be as well. Because you really have a choice here. You can become a survivor. You can be a victim and just go along and see where the road takes you. Or you can be complicit and compliant, which may land you in prison. Prison for loving God and the Duggars? Well, that's, I know they've told you, I'm sure that's wickedness, that's the enemy coming in, that's the world. It's what you're going to have to suffer as being a believer. That's bullshit. Plenty of believers don't end up in prison for being complicit in harming their children. It's never part of the equation. Amy Duggar King left as well. Hi, Amy. I know she's been checking out some of her stuff, as has her mom. Hi, guys. I'd love to talk. Please, let's communicate off the air. She wrote Holy Disruptor without a ghostwriter, hit number one on Amazon in multiple categories, built an advocacy platform dedicated to helping others escape toxic family systems and generational cycles of abuse. That's wonderful. It's like paying it forward. She said publicly that disrupting deception is a holy act. It is. The Bible does talk about false prophets, about being deceived by people, wolves in sheep's clothing. I got news for you. In my opinion and many opinions, you're living in a wolf den right now. Yeah, they got a lot of very convincing sheep outfits that they wear, don't they? They look like lamb chops. These women found a version of faith that didn't require them to be silent, obedient, and complicit. And every one of them will tell you the same thing. The hardest part wasn't the leaving. It was believing they were allowed to. Kendra, your story told on your own terms, with your own representation and your own voice, could be the most significant one yet. Not because of sensationalism, because thousands of women are trapped in the exact same kind of system, and most of them, they never heard someone like them say, I got out and here's how. That story could provide financial independence you have never had. Just your story. There are publishers, there are people, and yes, someone is going to make money on this story. Yourself included, if you'd like. That's not a sin, that is survival. and you've earned it. You've gone through this shit show with these people. If you can make some money on your story, not to be greedy, but to survive because you need it to get out, take that. This is not a story of exploitation. This is a story, like I said, of survival, and it's a story of hope for others, should you choose to make it that. Or it'll be a story of being railroaded and run over by the people who you thought loved you, who you thought cared for you and had your best interests at heart, but at the end of the day, either made you part of the machine as well, and you can continue to live how you're living, really, in perpetuity, in delusion, in coercive control. Or you can get out and have a story that can inspire millions of other women. That credibility built on your own experience, a platform that helps other women find the exit. Publishers are interested. Documentary producers are interested. Advocacy organizations are interested. And the money, based on what Jill and Ginger and Amy have built, could set you and your children up for a life that doesn't depend on Jim Bob's checkbook or Joseph's name or anyone else's permission. Because I got news for you. That well's starting to run dry. None of that happens from inside that house. None of that happens while every minute of your day is filled by people who need you to stay quiet for their well-being. And none of that happens on anyone's timeline but yours. I want to come back to that Monday call. The woman who was crying and telling Joseph the kids had to come first. Who said she wasn't well. Who said she had to do anything and everything for her children. That woman was right. The instinct she had in that moment before the family filled her week with ATV rides and psalms and visits to worship lyrics about the enemy. That was her, not God's grace. Though God may well have been in it. Her own mind, her own motherhood, her own clarity. She's allowed to trust that instinct. She's allowed to walk into a legal aid office without telling anyone. She's allowed to call an advocacy organization and ask questions. She's allowed to see a therapist who isn't approved by the family. She's allowed to go home, clean her house, get a job, and show the court that her children matter more than anything. She's allowed to tell her story and get paid for it. She's allowed to build something that belongs to her. The Caldwells, her own family, the one Joseph reportedly spent months turning against her, appear to have drawn a clear line publicly as well. But according to reporting, that line is against Joseph, not Kendra. That door hasn't closed. Kendra, your family appears to be waiting for you to come back. And the door out of this system is right there. It has always been there. You just have to believe you're allowed to open it. Somebody who loves her needs to make sure she hears that. Before the next ATV ride, before the next psalm, before her next sister-in-law fills another afternoon, before the window that opened on that Monday call closes for good. She's allowed. Let her be and let her make the choices she needs to make for her own well-being and her children. And if you're close enough, reach out a hand and help her see it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to get them and continue our conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's go to another topic, another fine group of folks. Oh, I went for a Sunday drive yesterday, everybody. I was down in the area of town where I've never seen the compound, the Duggar compound. I've just seen it on TV. And I thought, you know, I'm only like 5 minutes away, according to GPS. I'm going to go for a Sunday drive. So I did. And I texted Robin and Todd.
This is what we do on weekends. We can't get away from this.
Yeah, I am like, I just want to see what it looks like. So I had my camera rolling as I drove by the Duggar compound. And there in the driveway is Michelle in her Lexus, her big white Lexus, you know, that pious, you know, ministers or preachers' wives drive big white Lexuses. And I waved, hi. And I just kept driving.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just waved and, you know, and I kept going. I'm like, okay, well, I've seen it now. That's great. It's interesting. It's a big, sprawling compound with a lot of vehicles and a lot of people that are in the fold there. Of course, the Duggars are who we are talking about. One arrest has set off a chain reaction that has not stopped. Joseph Duggar, obviously, he's facing felony charges in Florida. He and his wife face separate charges in Arkansas. Officials in Arkansas have declined to release court records to the public yet, citing, and this is interesting, an active and ongoing investigation, something that didn't happen when another Duggar family member was cited for child endangerment in a prior case. CPS has reportedly conducted follow-up visits to residences connected to the broader Duggar family, allegedly, and sources allege that families inside the orbit are beginning to cooperate with investigators after years of silence. What started as one case involving one man and one victim is widening, and the question is now how far the investigation reaches beyond the people who've already been charged. So let's start here. If investigators were to find evidence that someone in a position of authority inside a family system that has spent years advising other families to handle allegations involving their children internally, confession, repentance, labor, and above all, keep police out. And that pattern could be documented across multiple households. What would the FBI call that? And how would they go about building a case around it? Because if some of these allegations that are floating around the internets are true, you do have some interstate stuff going on here. You have certain people advising other people within this orbit of faith, and I put that in air quotes, of not going to authorities when criminal allegations are being made or criminal confessions in some cases are being made by their own members, allegedly, of crimes against children. And the faith idea within the community is, well, let's just keep this quiet. Let's just deal with it internally. It's between you and me and our umbrella and God. Let's keep the police out of it. This seems like it could turn into quite a big deal that could expose quite a few people. Is that where this is going?
I think it's very possible because when you look at all of this, you pointed out the key facts, and this could be a conspiracy case, a conspiracy yeah. trafficking case. Just think if they find anything to do with pornographic images. That's really where the huckleberry is on a case like this. And when I say that, a very punishable case, a very easy to make case, you don't even have to put together that conspiracy. You don't have to do a sex trafficking, elements of a sex trafficking. And typically when people are involved in this activity, they love to take videos and photos.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so tough because... So Jim Bob is so adept at this master control. It's very hard to imagine him because everything goes through him. All the cell phone bills go through him. You're right to have a smartphone versus a flip phone. All these things go through Jim Bob. And when he and with the whole doctrine of this umbrella and starting with everything in order to have restitution, you know, by confessing immediately of your moral failings. I mean, this is the language they use to diminish the sexual abuse, the S abuse, I'm sorry for YouTube, the S abuse that's going on against these children. It all gets filtered through him and he knows, you know, he's scrubbing that stuff before.
Yeah, and I'm not, we're not accusing him of anything and he's not
nothing
criminal or anything like that, allegedly.
I'm just saying what could happen.
But based on the teachings, based on how we understand how they handle everything under their umbrella, that, I mean, that from the public information that's out there, we have documented history of them handling things under that umbrella. And more reporting that's coming out there from some other sources. Without a crystal ball, Katie Joy is doing some great work on that.
Yeah, following them. And also Amy Duggar on King's amazing book, just finished that as well, combined with Jill Duggar's work. I mean, there's a lot of really good insights about how not just the IBLP, but also the Duggar household is being run or organized.
It seems that there is a lot that is there that that is being looked at. Again, not saying any of it is necessarily criminal or I don't know, but that's for the authorities to figure out. But when you're running that lever of control or that is the structure of the organization of control of okay. Other people, other members, other families, other fathers within the IBLP, the elders, if you will, if the elders are having conversations amongst themselves and they're working out their problems and their issues, and some, let's just theoretically say, some are saying, you know, I've done this, or my son has done this, or I know this has happened. How do we deal with it? And the idea and the outcome and the elder's choice within that organization, within that sect, is to say, we're only handling this on the inside. We're not going to go to police, even though these are criminal acts. Is that a conspiracy?
Well, certainly, anytime you have two overt acts in two agreements, you have a conspiracy, potentially, as long as it's to commit criminal conduct. So the elements are actually not difficult to achieve. It's the question is it there in the form that we can grab it? In other words, a conversation, a text message, some form of that communication.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so here's a follow-up to that, Jen, and one of our viewers just said the same thing. They don't use the word S-abuse. They always use this softer language of moral failings. Would law enforcement be able to take and retranslate that? Because, you know, the statutes say one, you know, the harsh reality of what it is, but the Duggars or people in IBLP don't use that same vernacular. Would they be able to then use a softer vernacular used by the IBLP and use that as justification for subpoenas and everything else? Or would it actually need to be more specific?
No, absolutely they can. Consider, for instance, in drug cases, a lot of times they say, you know, the wedding.
Great example.
Like that, which when you see the wedding, that means particularly a narcotic transaction. Or you see, hey, did you pick up the tomatoes? Whatever it might be. Well, tomatoes, when you see it three or four different times, equate to crack cocaine, you know that it's crack cocaine. So all you have to do is you just need a paragraph in your warrant to show that correlation.
Yeah, and that's what we do, same thing on the CI side. We actually have to define what each thing means so that actually when we submit things, it actually gives clarity to the court. Great example. Very good one. Thank you.
How do you get in here and crack this nut? I mean, obviously it's very closed off. It's very secretive. There's certain people who have certainly escaped and they tell their story. But I would tend to guess that as the water is continuing to rise here in the Duggar Titanic, that there might be folks going, maybe it's time for lifeboats, or let's hope we're not going to stand there and wait till the bow of the ship is upright, and then you're going to be, you know, hoping for the I'll never let go Jack moment.
You might want to
get out on the lifeboat while it's available to you. What would you say to someone in that orbit who wants to get out, who needs to get out, but is afraid to get out? They don't necessarily know. They don't necessarily understand the protections that they may have and the levers to pull, because sometimes they don't even have the language to describe some of these things. What would you say, and I'll start with Jen first, to inspire someone on the inside who has information about these people and about horrible behavior, if it exists? I'm not saying it does. I'm not accusing anybody, but if it exists, what would you say to them? What should they do? How can they go about this? Because their levers of going to the people that are closest to them and saying it goes nowhere. It just gets shut down and stays insular. What would you say to them to to do the right thing, to do the godly thing in their mind, if you will, that will protect not only themselves, but more importantly, the gazillions of children that they can't stop having.
Well, I tell you what, these are the nuts that you can't crack unless they come to you. And I'm not saying they're nutty. I'm using a nut as the analogy, meaning you cannot go to people that are so brainwashed like this and that have all these close familial ties and expect that they're going to just see the light from some FBI agent that talks to them. Typically, how these are broken, though, is you have that person reach out. That person who has just seen something so horrific they can't go on with it. A mother or the one of the kids that just can't take it any longer, like we're seeing. That's what you're hoping for. So I would say there's nothing that an agent or an officer or anybody could say that's going to bring them out of that. They have to have the initial thought. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. You know, you handle these, to Jen's point, you're not going to be able to do a frontal assault here because their shields are so insulated. They're so thick. They're so deep. I mean, they've got a lot of reps in keeping their society closed, right? And so what you have here is a recruitment operation. And when you're doing a recruitment operation, you first thing you're doing is you're identifying an individual who might be a little different. They're not just in their personality, but they have a different tempo of life. They're putting themselves and making themselves available for some human interaction outside that circle. Maybe they're the ones that do the grocery shopping, or when they do grocery shopping in a big group, maybe this one goes off on their own and you see this a little more routinely. And when you see a potential for an interaction, the first thing you don't do is confront, because next you actually have to establish trust. You have to not invalidate their thoughts and opinions. You have to validate them by being curious, by mirroring, by matching, and you start developing a rapport of trust over time. You don't push the tempo. You make it on their tempo. You allow them to feel inspired to want to approach, confide. You know, so what was, when we're covering the FLDS, you know, I know it's not about today, but Catherine, who was the documentarian that covered them, she did exactly this. When she penetrated the FLDS, she gained trust. And over a couple years, she finally got someone to make themselves available by coming to her front lawn and just raking leaves with her young son. And that she saw as an opportunity for a conversation. You just be patient and you allow them to come from to you by making yourself this lighthouse of safety where there was no fear, where there's no judgment, and they felt empowered to just have a little bit of leakage, to so they're going to test what's going to happen if I'm going to leak a little bit. Will the world collapse? Will I be outside the umbrella? No, I can leak a little bit more. So that's how these things work in real life.
To inspire this, I mean, because to get inside of this insular system, I mean, that's nearly impossible. I mean, is it? I mean, maybe somebody could do it. I don't know. But it would take quite an operation, quite a dedication of someone giving up their life for quite a while to do that. But there are some levers here. There are children of the Duggars who have escaped. They watch our show. They've commented on some of our stuff. I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is a path that is ever taken within the FBI or anything of that nature, of working with folks like that as the levers that already exist. Maybe, I mean, they're probably not super high on the trust level with someone like Kendra Duggar, who is so enmeshed into the system, who has the husband that has these allegations against him, who's being love bombed by the Duggars right now, who's going out on ATV rides and singing church songs really loud and feeling great, things like that. Is there ever a lever that can be pulled there by working with folks like that, people who have been close, to help? I don't want to say lure, because that almost sounds bad, but to help inspire, to help let them know, help them see there is a safe side out here, and to provide the platform for them to essentially walk out of the airplane door and know that they're going to land safely, because that would be like what Kendra would be doing. If she were to walk away from all this, she'd be losing her housing. She'd be losing her legal protection that's being arranged by the Duggars. She would lose everything, all semblance, everything. And probably in her mind, she'd fear that she's going to be damned to hell and burn eternally forever. So her eternal salvation in her mind would be being thrown away. Is there anything the FBI could do by working with escapees of this family to help inspire others to escape so they can live a better life? And more importantly, those grandchildren, those kids that keep being born into this, have a chance at a healthy life, not influenced by this way of thinking.
Well, I would 100% say this is the number one avenue. Because as you mentioned, there were already emotional bonds that were made. And just because they leave, it doesn't mean that some of those bonds don't exist. The other thing is they are a huge intelligence gathering spot. They know everything inside and out. And so that can often lead to information that can lead to crevices to get in. So that's, to me, if I'm the case agent, that's my number one approach. I'm going to debrief until I understand how everything works day in and day out. And then secondarily, I'm going to see if there's any bridge that can be made between that person and somebody still on the inside.
Yeah, the biggest challenge they're going to have here is bandwidth. You know, I can't tell you the number of days I had great opportunities to recruit certain individuals that were not good actors, that were acting against the United States interests. But my boss, after I brought these great opportunities to him, he'd say, "Hey, so we work in Russians today?" Because that was my primary goal and objective. And so you always got to look at bandwidth. You have to look at known violations, because just because you think it's righteous doesn't mean that the people above you think it's the flavor of the day. So that's part of the challenge. The other part, though, I think is a really great example. When you don't have direct access, the things you're looking for is secondary access. You're looking for sources. And one of our commentators here said, why not, you know, why didn't camera people that filmed for TLC for years say something, anything? So I wouldn't use them as, hey, why didn't you? I'd say, hey, do you want to? Because now, because what you're looking for is you're looking for people that already have, and to your point earlier, Tony, already have established trust, already have established relations. And how can we provide some leakage? How can we plant seeds? Because, you know, when you're inspiring someone to take action, you don't get people to take an action by telling them what they should do. You do it by asking them questions about what it is they are doing. You plant those seeds by asking questions, leading questions that can get their minds thinking. Remember, the biggest challenge these kids have of saving themselves is they don't interrogate information. They're not curious. They're living within a very small tube of experience, and they're not used to questioning anything outside that umbrella. So if you can plant a little bit here to get them to question this, you know, it's like, hey, just ask, you know, so why is it this? And now, granted, they have an answer for everything. Their doctrine does. That's why it's going to take a little bit finding that right person that just doesn't quite fit the mold. It's a little bit more skeptical, you know, just like Amy in her book talks about that. Things were good until things just didn't make sense to her because she was far enough removed but close enough to kind of be a little more discerning.
I want to ask this just from the optics of what we're seeing so far. What do you guys think is going on behind the scenes here on a local level with authorities and also on a federal level with the FBI? Allegations have come out that other children of the Duggars, adult children of the Duggars who are parents now and have their own kids, have had CPS visit their homes. That's the allegations that we're seeing coming out. That I find interesting because these are independent families that are not, you know, they're not in the same house of Kendra and Joseph. These are other people. To randomly have CPS show up right after all this happens, that seems a little interesting. Is there a greater, and they have said ongoing investigation and in the background, I guess how deep and how ongoing do you think this is in terms of local authorities and federal authorities investigating the dealings of this family and possible further abuse?
Well, first of all, there's never anything random with something like that. It's so closely associated in time and facts that they're looking for. So I would say they're going to keep digging. They've got to start, obviously, in close connection with the local authorities. But I tell you, I'd be worried for everything I did, because I think likely there have already been a lot of subpoenas and possibly warrants served behind the scenes that we don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So I think it's such an interesting case. And as Robin made a great point, it does depend on what the Bureau is prioritizing right now. And right now, because of the war, the priority of manpower is going to be on international and domestic terrorism issues for sure. And then underneath that, though, sex trafficking has been one of the higher priorities of this administration.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree, Jen. You know, anytime a conflict in the world broke out, everyone in the Bureau, especially on the counterintelligence side, you have to interview and develop sources all across the country. So it's an all, every time some, remember, and we've heard this so many times, every time a big crime happens, you always hear it. It's all hands on deck right now with the what's going on politically, geopolitically, you know, it's all hands on deck, focus on that. But to Jen's great point, S trafficking is always a very high priority when dealing with children involved. So like her point, I guarantee there's a lot of work going on behind scenes. It's hard not to imagine a lot of really, really nervous people amongst the brethren right now.
Yeah. I mean, are they really at a kind of a fork in the road point here in their life decision-making process point of you can go one of two ways here. If you have knowledge, and I'm not saying necessarily someone who has done these things to other people, but someone who has knowledge of people covering up abuse, covering up things, and just the way that the system seems to operate. If you have the knowledge and you don't come forward and you don't say anything and you play stupid, there's a path here or there's a path here. What do both of those paths look like? Should someone not choose to do the right thing, not choose to do the thing, being, even though they're being told within that that's wicked, that's witchcraft, that's evil, that's the enemy coming in. You don't say these things, you don't expose these things because that these are bad people that are coming in and pointing out these things to us. What options do they have at this point? I mean, what does the future look for, like, for someone who has that sort of knowledge, that either A, chooses to come forward and get it out, versus sitting there and waiting for the bell to toll and, you know, wherever this goes, maybe, you know, a bunch of federal agents showing up one day with weapons and invading one's compound.
If you look at human behavior based on cases like this in the past, they aren't going to come forward.
No.
They are going to sit there and hide behind their shield of how they're interpreting their scripture and right from wrong, and wait until, as you put it, the bell tolls, and then they'll deal with it then. So I think they're concerned probably on the inside, but I also think that they keep themselves fairly isolated. So what is really happening in social media and mainstream media, and I don't think they're keeping track of any of that. And no. I don't, anybody comes forward. That's what I see.
That's why I think doing shows like ours, where we're focusing so hard on the human aspect of trying to save lives, trying to save children's lives and women's lives, most importantly, is so important, because there are people that are close enough that have some connection, that have enough of a connection, maybe enough of trust, that can say, listen, that remember, they have cell phones. And if you can get a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of leakage to shows like us, where you can say, hey, you don't have to go, I mean, there's so many outlets, you don't have to go directly to law enforcement, which can be scary, which can be alerting, which can bring the brethren down on you. But you can do, there's other back channels. We use them all the time in law enforcement. You know, we always use at least one degree of separation when needs be to establish these things. And there's a lot of ways in which to do that for people that are inclined on the inside at any age, that you see something that just doesn't feel right, that makes you feel unsafe, that is just abhorrent. And remember, if you emotionally don't feel like something's right or good, you're most likely right. Do something about it. You can. There's a lot of avenues. And everyone's on, and most importantly, everyone is on your side. That's the most important thing to remember. Yeah. Everyone is on your side.
it's a turning point, and people are going to have to make decisions. And you're right, Jen. I think most are probably going to make the wrong one, or they're going to sit there and they're going to lock down and wait for the bell to toll. But if anyone out there that's hearing this, you have an option right now, and that window will close at some point, and there will be consequences to not speaking up. It's your choice where you want to go with it, I guess. And I guess that's up to them. Fascinating conversation, as always. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear them, and we'll continue our conversation right there. Robin's new book, it's available. It's Not All About Me, available wherever you get books. Go and check that out. Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Please leave a review.
Yes. As always, thank you so much for being here. Break the Case of Jennifer Coffendaffer, available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Go search it and press subscribe. All right. We'll continue the conversation in the comments section. Until then, for Robin, for Jen, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.